Welcome to the Divided Kingdom, the cutting-edge Christian news program many of you have come to know and trust. Elizabeth Cuppett Carefully and I, Lou Carefully, are your hosts. With the flaming infernos American cities have become, hardly any news outlet, mainstream media or otherwise, is discussing the novel coronavirus. Did it vanish into thin air, along with the non-existent masks of some of the Antifa and Black Lives Matter Soros thugs who have been destroying poor African-American homes and businesses and targeting even Manhattan cultural icons like Macy's? Well, just taking a look at the Worldometer on Tuesday, June 2nd, I found some stats. I was looking at these just as an alt-right kingpin talk show host blathers, of course the coronavirus was a hoax. This makes Elizabeth and me angry. What does he want? Thousands of listeners to go out and get infected because they take no precautions since COVID is, quote, a hoax? Just today I heard on Sirius XM radio a famous college football coach succumb to COVID. On our last program, you can go to the archives to hear it at DividedKingdomRadio.com for May 28th. We had info on Dr. Aaron Fromage's cautions ensuing from the true life case of a man eating in a restaurant, a man whose COVID-19 infection was carried through the air conditioning, left to right, making others grow ill.
Some and Blue, I think it carried on to some of those people went into a church choir then, and more people got infected, and eventually some died.
You're absolutely right.
Including patient A, the first one who went to the restaurant.
That's quite right. In fact, that original man in the restaurant died, and so did several others. Also, on May 28th, Elizabeth read Bill Getz's Washington Times article. And we may have said it was from the Washington Examiner, but it actually was from the Washington Times. And that was still more voice.
Yes, the voice of reason. It was one more voice, Bill Getz's, telling us about all of the scientists who had said this COVID-19 is a bioweapon made in a lab.
Yes, that included some in Australia. And that roster previously included Dr. Lee Montagnier, Nobel Prize winner.
And that's Luke Montagnier.
Oh, Luke Montagnier.
Right.
And he was a winner of the Nobel Prize, and he discovered the AIDS virus. He found out the HIV virus.
And he also then analyzed the COVID virus and found HIV, what would we say, fragments or something,
so signatures?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and then I think, was there another one, Dr. Francis Boyle?
Very much so, Dr. Francis Boyle. He was a leader in the proliferation bioweapons treaty that came under the UN during the George H.W. Bush years. And also we had Indian scientists, a panel of Indian scientists, who had decided that there were very definite signs that the coronavirus was a lab-made bioweapon.
And you know, when you were mentioning there, Lou, about these patriot blockheads who say COVID-19 is just a hoax and just the flu, you know, we had some prominent people, and I know later you're going to give us some stats of what's really going on in the States, too, because everything seems to have vanished from TV land and everywhere else, but some prominent people who have died of the coronavirus or from complications due to it include former Senator Annie Glenn, died on May 19th, widow of astronaut John Glenn, age 100. Former White House butler Wilson Roosevelt German, age 91. He served 11 presidents from 1957 to 2012. Roy Horn of the famed magician duo Siegfried and Roy, age 75. Jimmy Glenn, a Boxing Hall of Fame trainer, owner of Jimmy's Corner, a famous dive bar in Times Square. Michael Hawkins, age 82, owner of the Grand Prospect Hall in Brooklyn, New York. It is a national historic landmark and has been used as a concert venue, film set, and commercial shooting space for notable brands like Vogue and American Express. Len Fagan, drummer and owner of the nightclub Coconut Teaser, age 72, Fagan is credited with helping to build the L.A. music scene with his showcases of up-and-coming bands. Actor B.J. Hogg, age 65. He played the role of Sir Adam McBrand on HBO's Game of Thrones. Gulshan Ewing, famed journalist, age 92, she edited two of India's most popular women's magazines. Troy Sneed, a Grammy-nominated gospel singer, age 52. Richard Sanders, BBC journalist, age 62. And, you know, we have to interject again to those who say only the old people die of it. And we certainly know that in the states run by Wolf and Cuomo, in Michigan, the woman governor, these orders to put these COVID-19 positive patients back into the nursing homes, it really does smell. It really does look like population culling efforts. The death panels for the elderly that we first heard about in the Obama years. But we always recall that case of Jack Allard, the lacrosse star who was age 25, on Fox News with Laura Ingraham. His mother was desperate, and eventually he was flown to the University of Pennsylvania medical facilities, and he barely made it. He lived. So there was a young person in peak condition. And those of you listeners who think, well, you've been brainwashed and you think it doesn't hurt children. Nothing happens to children. They all say that they hardly have any predisposition to getting it, so let's get the schools really open and running in the fall. There is a mysterious new syndrome that Lou found out about, and it wasn't clear whether this was something that happened apart from COVID-19 or a direct result of it. And we thought it was only in Europe, but listeners, it is here in Maryland. So we'll have more about that. Lou, you have some more prominent people, don't you, who died of... Now, we have another thing. We have a little bone to pick. Yes, perhaps the numbers were, shall we say, played around with. Perhaps the numbers from the beginning weren't altogether right. But when we think about this disclaimer that people didn't really die of the COVID-19. They died of the comorbidities. If they were diabetic, diabetes killed them. If they had heart disease killed them. That's not always true. In the lupus materials, and some of you know that I have that autoimmune disease, so that was why I knew a lot about Dr. Daniel Wallace and his excellent use of the hydroxychloroquine, though I've never had to take it. I have used only natural means with my autoimmune disease for over 28 years. I have never taken a drug for it. And I think perhaps the other name for hydroxychloroquine is Plaquenil, Plaquenil. And even at the time I saw it written up about in the lupus materials, it said there could be some side effects with the eyes down the road if people took it a long, long time. But anyway, as we know, Dr. Daniel Wallace's patients for 43 years, I think maybe 2,400 of them, never had any deaths, never had any hospitalizations with that. But it is important. We have to think that facts could be juggled another way. And the reason I say that is, in those early lupus materials, it's interesting, my brother has his PhD in biochemistry. And because even then, I was careful to see what medical help I would ever put myself under. And he wrote to me, since you're going to diagnose yourself, you might as well have the best material. So he had really researched everything for me, and I was even able to diagnose myself with about four things that would be true of lupus-positive patients. One was light sensitivity. That is definitely true. The other is a positive ANA blood test. So there are other things like this, but guess what was in those materials that's apropos here? It said that lupus patients are killed far more times, not by lupus, but by infection. Did you hear that? So it doesn't matter if these diabetics, these people with heart disease, they were given this ventilator, which would also help to kill them, help them never to be able to breathe again, they were put on there because of the cytokine storms in the lungs, the inflammation that came due to the infection. That's the killer, not those lingering, waxing and waning things like diabetes, autoimmune diseases, even COPD, all of that. You know, a person can get better for a while, then get a little weaker, then get better. So we think that there are still a lot of cases going on, and we'll be interested to see after these nationwide riots in all of these blue cities what will happen to COVID. So now, Lou, give us some more of these prominent people's names.
Yes, we have Frederick Thomas, a rapper from the Bronx. He was only 35 years old, known by fans as Fred the Godson. He died on April 23rd. Matthew Seligman, a lawyer and musician. He was age 64. He played guitar live with David Bowie in 1985. John Horton Conway, a mathematician. He created a game that I'm not familiar with, but if you play a lot of online games, you might be. It's called The Game of Life. He was 82. Alan Garfield, an actor. He was 80. He was known for supporting roles in the 1970s and 1980s, including key roles in the films Nashville and Beverly Hills Cops 2. American country folk singer, songwriter John Prine, age 73. Actress Lee Fierro, age 91. Many of you may have seen her. You might not know her name, but she was best known for her role in Jaws. She was the one that slapped the police chief, Brody, played by Roy Scheider, across the face in that 1975 movie. Then there was Mahmoud Jibril, former prime minister of Libya. He was 67. We had Patricia Bosworth, actress and author of best-selling biographies of Marlon Brando and Jane Fonda. She was 86. She co-starred with Audrey Hepburn in The Nun Story. Adam Schlesinger, a Grammy, Tony, Oscar, and Emmy-nominated musician. He was only 52. And we have Ellis Marsalis, who was a great jazz musician, and he was the father of trumpeter Wynton Marsalis.
And Lou, you can see there, that person who was 52, there are anomalies. Only God controls the keys to when he takes us home. We saw a very radiant-faced, white-haired woman on television who had survived not only the coronavirus of today, but the Spanish flu of 1918. Wasn't that amazing? She was 100 years old. So, you know, she had to be sort of a baby or a very young child, I guess, at that time. So you see, not everybody's immune system can be packaged into a formula. Nobody can be packaged in a formula like the Blue Cities wants us. Aren't you going to pick up that story? You're going to be talking a little bit about what has happened.
Yes, Elizabeth. I recall how very uncomfortable we became while dining out with two friends from the urban D.C. area. The woman kept defending the police, saying that Freddie Gray had been a thorn in their side for
a long time.
Now,
we have to situate this. This is back 2015.
That's long ago now.
So, again, this woman said about that he had been a nuisance, and the police precinct knew him, and they were really sick of him.
That's exactly right. So they picked him up for some charge, and on the way to the hospital, well, on the way to the police station, which I think was then diverted to the
hospital.
You know,
you made a little slip there,
yeah.
But it's because you and I are so upset over this, even to this day. Go ahead.
Yes. The woman kept defending the police, saying that Freddie Gray had been a thorn on their side for a long time, and he was just getting what he deserved. Well, he died, so we didn't think that's what he deserved. Apparently, the Department of Injustice in Baltimore agreed because the officers were found not guilty. Both Elizabeth and I have had serious back problems in our younger days. She drove to Maryland for her first job interview with two pillows behind her back, having postponed starting her job so she could get a Pennsylvania chiropractor's treatments. Later, when Lyme disease made her knees swell, her back went into unbearable spasms. And as for me, I once, to try to cure a bad back, did 20 sit-ups. I was in my 20s at the time. I scared my landlady so that she called the ambulance. And when Elizabeth first began to know me, she was an angel of mercy, bringing me a thermos of lemonade and cookies.
You really like those cookies.
Oh, yes. I love those cookies. Yeah, I had another recurrence of a bad back. So hearing this friend say Freddie Gray got what he deserved was truly unbelievable. Because, listeners, you see, those kind Baltimore police had Freddie Gray, with a serious back injury, riding in the police van with no seatbelt. Jokes were made about the type of bumpy ride, in quotes, for suspects picked up by Baltimore police.
In other words, this was a routine. They did this.
Yeah, over and over again.
This is a bad police. Now, farther than... and it would, could be farther than anything we would want to say that all police are bad. No, we're going to just interrupt for a minute and say in this crisis, in these cities in America, in St. Louis, Tucker Carlson notified everybody Tuesday, June the 2nd on his program on Fox that there were a number of people killed, police in St. Louis, and that Joe Biden's staff continued to send money to the rioters. It's just absolutely hard to believe. And the name of one of the police, he was a 77-year-old man, and he was trying to defend the buildings of people. And he was actually off duty, and his name was David Dorn, and he was 77 years old, and there he was, trying to save somebody's building. You know, there are such wonderful police everywhere, but they're being hamstrung. And, you know, we hear all this, how the police brutality has been there, but we've heard lately figures that really show there was a stunningly low number of black people killed by police in the last few years. There were actually were more... I think black people killed by black police than by the white police, and I think there may have been even more white people murdered. I was trying to see if I saw those statistics anywhere, but it's very impressive that this is not a systemic illness in all of police land, because most of the police are good. They are not like that monster who stood on the neck of Mr. Floyd, George Floyd. No, till he was dead, till he was murdered. They're not like that. So when we said this about Freddie Gray, you know, our friends just seem to stay hardened. You see, everybody's been brainwashed by the Black Lives Matter, by all of these phony movements, and they really are phony. They're disingenuous. One of the key analysts on Fox News, he's an elderly person, Victor Davis Hanson, I think he's from the Hoover Institute, he said this spreading of lies all the time, and once some of these lies lately are destroying property that can replaced is not violent, and that there were white supremacists involved. No, we know who's involved, Antifa, and President Trump is doing right to declare them a terrorist organization. I think you have a little more to say about this idea there that we're on.
Yes, we do. And so Freddie Gray was taken to the first to the police. Then they realized he was not responding, so they, I believe, took him to the hospital. But he was, you know, in the back there, lying down, probably handcuffed, flopping around, as they gunned the engine, and that would bring an agony of pain and no doubt serious injury to anyone. This hideous injustice to Freddie Gray and to Ahmaud Arbery, the Georgia black man chased down and shot by Travis and Gregory McMichael, February 23rd, demands not only indictments of the killers, full justice with a jury and an incorrupt legal system, but it also demands sorrow and repentance from God's Christian Americans. The last week of unparalleled blue cities, looted, fomented by Antifa, is something separate. Something vile thugs helping blue governors take down America.
And I wrote a few notes for you, and if the listeners had realized what kind of a schedule you had today, they'd say, man, that's a miracle that Lou can get on the radio. Because we had very little preparation to read anybody's notes about anything. You had some articles for me that I haven't looked at. But you know, sometimes you just want to seize your life. You really want to know that you're alive, and you pray a lot to Jesus Christ. And actually, you have a brother who was quite ill after an 8-hour throat cancer operation, and prayers have resulted in miraculous healing so far. Sunday evening, the phone rang, and it was your brother speaking to us. And if we hadn't known, we would have thought, why, it's just his normal voice. Isn't that right, Lou?
Yes, he sounded like his ordinary self.
Yes.
Yeah, this was an operation that had to cut a sizable part of his cheek out, or at least insert, you know, have an incision in the cheek. And you would have thought it would have messed up the vocal cords very seriously, but he was still able to talk well.
You see, God has merciful things in mind. And you know that picture on TV of that elderly black woman there in the destroyed neighborhood. And she said, I won't be able to go out. I won't be able to get anything. And that meant food even. It's just terrible what has happened with these thugs, because they have really destroyed the lowest of the low, the poverty-stricken black neighborhoods, and the businesses that Trump had helped. You know, Laura Ingraham commented that in all her years of seeing things, and she said she's been in Washington, D.C. for 30 years, and she discussed riding her bicycle that day, I think June the 2nd, with her son to see the monuments. They were being guarded by the National Guard, and she went past one of them, the monuments, and she said, thank you for doing this. She thought she'd never see that in her lifetime with the National Guard guarding these monuments. But she said that in all of these years, you see, of analyzing politics, she said, I have never seen a president like Donald Trump who has worked harder. She said he has worked harder than any politician I've ever known to help minorities and women get jobs. But you see, while that's going on, Joe Biden's group is sending more money to these looters, these vandalizers. That, you know, Biden says that, you know, this is okay. How could this ever be okay? It just isn't okay. This is anarchy, chaos, and it is a different mentality. It is separate from our grieving for George Floyd and our shock and upset at the monster who killed him. It's different.
That's right.
Because we see that the left, which is a much more evil organization because it has the agenda to take us all down like George Floyd. The numbers are very great up there somewhere in the elite who are going to do this. Do we have anything more on that, Lou?
We were just going to mention that how ineffective some of these Democratic governors were. One comment, some of them began a curfew at 11 p.m. Well, that was useless because by that time, the thugs have already assembled and started looting. So what good does it do to have a curfew at 11 p.m. Finally, when a lot of pressure was put on them, they changed it to 8 p.m.
That's right. We began to see it, first of all, in Minneapolis, didn't we? And
yes.
Where the police precinct was attacked and the police ran, you know, the NYPD officers of the past came on, like Bernie Kerik, like Rudy Giuliani, the mayor, and he said, Giuliani, that his policy was the first person who throws a rock, they go after him. The second person who might burn a car, they get him. You see, there won't even be a third person because it was proactive policing. And what we have is a plan, just as sure as the CDC plan telling the states not to test for COVID. And when those two girls came back from studying in Italy and they stopped in New York conscientiously to call the CDC, should we quarantine before we go home to Florida? No, girls. You just run along now. No, we have to have our eyes open, and we have to pray strongly that God Almighty will build the will and the strength of leaders like President Trump and Mike Pompeo. We need these leaders, and Attorney General William Barr. We need these leaders to step up. And there were a number of people saying that it is time. Actually, it was Geraldo Rivera. You might not agree with all his views, but he has been an on-street journalist for over 50 years. He said that even though the left might say that you can't do that to put us under a state of insurrection and for Trump to commandeer the National Guard, to federalize them, he talked about Eisenhower when Governor Faubus resisted the integration in Arkansas way back in the Eisenhower administration. That's what he did, the supreme commander, you see, in Europe. That's what he did because he was a leader of men, and he got the schools integrated. And I believe that there was an instance when JFK did the same thing, but I'm not familiar with the events around it. So, you know, we call on President Trump to step out front and be the leader we need to save our country.
That's exactly right. And you don't see leadership among these governors. In fact, you even see a split now in New York State, between de Blasio and Cuomo. Cuomo wants to call in the National Guard. De Blasio says, oh, we don't need it. Well, look at the films you saw the other day about New York City. Wasn't quite so bad last night, but there was still some looting. And many of those big shops have been pretty well decimated. It'll take a long time for those to come back.
Yes, it will.
That's a lack of leadership.
And it is a plan.
Yes.
We've been warning all of you. And, you know, our hard-hitting news, if you value it, you can write to us, Lou Caverly, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. If you want to put a little cash in, a few postage stamps, if you want to write a check to WWCR, you can do that. You can hear us on WWCR Thursday evenings, 4.840 megahertz, 8 o'clock Eastern time, that is. And you can also hear us on the Internet, WWCR.com. You can hear us at Liberty Works Radio Network, LWRN.net, Monday evenings at 5 p.m., repeating at 11 p.m. You can hear us at KStarTalkRadio.com, and you can hear us there on Saturdays at 5 p.m. and on Sundays at 10 a.m. We really do plan to stay on the air as long as God keeps calling us and keeps providing for us. Please keep us in your prayers for his protection and provision. We know that we're not a large, large site with lots of commercials and lots of corporate help. No, we're just trying to tell the truth. We're trying to find the best news to warn you. We're watchmen, and we are telling you that you'd better get ready another round of buying up of food and getting supplies in order, because something's going to come in the fall and winter. And maybe it's coming from Brazil. Maybe it's COVID coming back. I think now we must move on, Lou, quickly. You have some stats. I don't know whether we'll get them all, but to those who say that COVID is not doing anything, could you just tell us about Brazil, for instance?
Yes, Brazil. They talk a lot about that lately. Brazil now has 539,045 cases, second only to the USA. In deaths, it has 30,000. 486. And this is in a country that wasn't hard hit till a relatively short time ago. So it's way up there among the highest death rates in the whole world.
And precautions were not taken.
That's right.
Bolsonaro did not take this seriously.
That's very true.
No. And
in the U.S., I'll just mention a couple of quick ones.
Yeah, just a few in the U.S.
New York State still has new deaths, 1,036. This was a one-day period. This was dated June 2nd.
Think about that, one day.
New Jersey had 336 new deaths. California, 127. Pennsylvania, Elizabeth's home state, had 581. Massachusetts, my home state, didn't list it.
Wait, was that 500 new deaths?
Yes,
deaths,
581. Almost 600, yes,
okay.
That's right. And Maryland, a home state now, had 848 new deaths. And I believe this is over only a one-day period.
And its case increase, too, was pretty high. Wasn't it something like 800 or something like that, a one-day period?
Yes. You know what? I may have read that. Those were new cases. I had crossed out the word deaths. The new deaths, New York at 56, New Jersey 48. That's still nothing to, you know, to ignore. Pennsylvania, 93.
Those are the deaths now.
Those
are the
deaths.
So those other numbers were the new cases. That's what
I
thought
at
the beginning when you said
that.
Yeah. Okay. So now we still have this specter of the vaccine and all of this. We are going to move on now. Warnings that maybe they aren't as imminent right now, but they'll be coming back. Lou, let's go right to it.
All right. This is entitled The Brave New World of Bill Gates and Big Telecom by Robert F. Kennedy, the junior chairman, and Daphne Tackover, director. The Stop 5G Project, Children's Health Defense.
And that website is what? Childrenshealthdefense.org.
That's right.
Okay.
Yep. Robert F. Kennedy, Jr. wrote last week about Malibu police's ticketing Point Doom surfers $1,000 apiece for using the ocean during the quarantine. Was this merely an appalling police judgment at which we will laugh post-quarantine? Or does anyone else feel that this is the first wave of compliance and obedience training for something more permanent? Are powerful state and corporate entities using the current crisis to remove basic rights and intensify pressures to promote vaccines and surveillance? Does anyone else feel the suffocating darkness of tyranny descending on our nation? And finally, does anyone share my dread that Bill Gates and his longtime associate, Tony Fauci, will somehow be running our brave new world? Imagine a world where the government doesn't need police officers to apprehend those surfers that ticket you when you violate social distancing with your girlfriend. Suppose the computers discover your beach trip by tracking your movements using a stream of information from your cell phone, your car, your GPS, facial recognition technology integrated with real-time surveillance from satellites, mounted cameras, and implanted chips. Desk-bound prosecutors or robots will identify you of your violation by text while simultaneously withdrawing your $1,000 penalty in cryptocurrency from your payroll account. Welcome to Bill Gates America. It's right around the corner. 5G strategies. Recently, Bill Gates announced his financial support for a $1 billion plan to blanket Earth in video surveillance satellites. The company, Earth Now, will launch 500 satellites to live stream monitor almost every corner of the Earth, providing instantaneous video feedback with only a 1 second delay. According to Wikipedia, the company expects its customers to include, quote, governments and large enterprises, unquote. 5G antennas deploying a vast array of ground-based 5G spy antennas.
I'll just go on. There was Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Gates purchased 5.3 million Crown Castle shares, currently worth $1 billion.
The foundation's second largest tech holding after Microsoft, Crown Castle owns 5G infrastructure in every major U.S. market.
And we have to interject, you know, on an earlier program, we had some allegations, a news tip, that during the lockdown when schools were closed, there were some covert installations of 5G equipment. We can't verify that, but you have to be on the alert for that. That other technology that would be the little boxes that they can hook up to the regular power lines. You know, a lot of stealth stuff is going on. Go ahead, Lou.
Yes. This company, Castle Crown, operates and leases more than 40,000 cell towers, 65,000 small cell nodes, which are the central infrastructure for 5G, and 75,000 route miles of fiber to every major U.S. market. That instead of going to your home, providing you safe, fast, wired internet, has been confiscated to connect 5G cell towers. Big Telecom, Big Data, and Bill Gates are baiting Americans into a digital tyranny trap with million-dollar TV ads that pretend that their multi-trillion-dollar 5G investment is about faster download speeds for video games and movies. But 5G has almost nothing to do with improving your lives. It's all about
controlling your life, marketing products, and harvesting your data for artificial intelligence purposes. The 21st century's black gold is data. 5G is the infrastructure for Gates, quote, Internet of Things, unquote.
And we must interject again here, listeners, that those of you who may not have heard about the health dangers, they are extreme, and we invite you to visit our website, DividedKingdomRadio.com. Again, that is DividedKingdomRadio.com, and you'll see there an essay that I wrote that had some very pertinent health information about 5G's effects. It's just dreadful. The little neighborhood boxes that will be right around your home in within the neighborhoods. And, of course, there is this thinking that perhaps 5G played a role in the extreme numbers of COVID-19 cases and deaths, both in Wuhan, where 5G had been installed, and in the neighborhoods of New York City, because 5G was installed in some of those neighborhoods in 2017. And already, a couple years ago, people were complaining of health effects. Go ahead, Lou, with Robert F. Kennedy's article, and he's talking about 5G getting all our data. That's another worry.
Yes, Bill Gates' Internet of Things, that's in quotes, Internet of Things, a world where tens of billions of smart devices, cell phones, computers, automobiles, garage door openers, Apple Watches, baby diapers, and even our living bodies are wirelessly interconnected to enable big data to gather and sell our personal information. Gates, Elon Musk, Amazon, Facebook, and Telecom are launching the flagships for the new gold rush.
And again, we must say that Elon Musk's space venture, I was really happy to see that. At the same time, he has a new little baby boy with a very strange name. It's like an AI name. But, you know, he might become more humanized. This is a wonderful thing for mankind to help us go to the stars. That's a lot better than murdering people, putting a brain chip in, and putting what is left of them into a cloud somewhere. That's hideous. It's worse than 5 million times what they did to Freddie Gray. It really is what they have in store, the crazy insanity of Satanism in the minds and hearts of some of the elite. So, you know, you ought to pray for some of the elite. Pray that Elon Musk will see the handwriting on the wall from the Lord. Go ahead, Lou.
Yes, this new gold rush, it consists of a teeming fleet of 50,000 satellites and a network of 2 million ground antennas and cell towers to strip mine data from our smart devices.
Did you say 2 million?
2 million,
towers?
That's right. This
wow.
Microwave-emitting spider web will allow big data, flash big telecom, and Big Brother to capture what happens inside and outside every person, every moment of life. Gates will harvest, control, sort, characterize, analyze, and sell millions of terabytes of personal information from smart devices, such as private health data, medical records, or shopping habits, our biometric and behavioral responses to advertising, our children's ability to learn, our facial expressions, and conversations overheard by Siri, Alexa, and your open cell phone's microphones. His and other corporations will use these analytics to develop artificial intelligence, AI, and turn you into a predictable, easily manipulated consuming machine. Next time you buy a smart device, remember, the device is not the product. You are. Corporations will use Gates' 5G surveillance system to sell products and escalate artificial intelligence capacity. Governments will use it to transition the globe to a totalitarian singularity, more despotic than Orwell ever imagined. Silicon Valley titans like Elon Musk, Peter Thiel, and Google's chief engineer, Ray Kurzweil, talk longingly of transhumanism, the process by which humanity will transition to become part human, part machine, via genetic engineering and surgical implants. Bill Gates is investing heavily to accelerate this altered reality. His ambition to tag us all with injected subdermal vaccine data chips seems to be merely a stepping stone toward an all-encompassing surveillance state. Microsoft has patented a sinister technology that utilizes implanted sensors to monitor body and brain activity. It will reward compliant humans with cryptocurrency payments when they perform assigned activities. The patent, WO2020-060606, has gained notoriety in the nickname World Order 2020-666. Microsoft describes this device as a cryptocurrency system and explains that it is capable of using body activity to mine Bitcoin in response to compliance with assigned tasks. That's quite an article.
Yes, it is. And here's its peer, its compatriot, May 31st, Sunday, by news editors at naturalnews.com. Another Gates vaccine bites the dust. Sick monkeys everywhere. One day after revelations that the Gates-Fauci-Moderna vaccine caused severe illnesses in 20% of high-dose recipients, Bill Gates got devastating news about his other Warp Speed COVAX bet. The Oxford Vaccine Group, OVG, spike protein vaccine was on an even faster track than Moderna. In May, Melinda Gates predicted it would be job-ready by year's end. Oxford and UK officials promised 30 million doses by September. And now, this is excerpted again from Robert F. Kennedy, Jr., from childrenshealthdefense.org. On April 24th, OVG, and again, that was Oxford Vaccine Group, scientists announced that a small macaque, I think that's macaque, isn't it, the monkeys?
I'm not sure.
Macaque study proved the vaccine effective. OVG quickly recruited 510 healthy volunteers for human trials. Pre-publication data released on May 13th reveals the vaccine is less promising than the OVG team implied. All vaccinated macaques sickened after exposure, and that was those monkeys, to COVID-19. They all sickened. Edinburgh University's Eleanor Riley told Forbes magazine the vaccine provided insufficient antibodies to prevent infection and viral shedding. Vaccinated monkeys spread the disease readily as unvaccinated. Pollard used his power and deceitful puffery about the monkey trial to bulldoze his COVID vaccine into human trials. He shunned inert placebo tests and restricted safety studies to 3 weeks to hide long-term injuries. Andrew Pollard strikes again. The OVG is politically wired. Lead developer Andrew Pollard juggles scandalous conflicts that allow him to license, register, and mandate his own untested vaccine to the masses. Pollard is senior advisor to Britain's MRHA panel, which licenses vaccines, chairs Britain's JVCI committee that mandates them, and advises the European Medicine Agency, EMA. He takes payments from virtually all the big vaccine makers. In 2014, Pollard developed GlaxoSmithKline's notorious Bexsero meningitis vaccine and then mandated it to children despite its significant safety signals for Kawasaki disease and the rarity of meningococcal B infections. The package insert says Bexsero may cause Kawasaki disease in as many as 1 out of every 1,000 children based on reports in the clinical trials. Pollard used his power and deceitful puffery about this monkey trial, you see, to get these human trials. And Forbes also reported on May 21st that the U.S. Biomedical Advanced Research and Development Authority, BARDA, has given $1 billion to AstraZeneca in partnership with Oxford for a rushed rollout of the vaccine in September. I hope you heard that. Listeners, don't go to sleep. So here is another auspice that's getting $1 billion to get this vaccine rushed out in September. In an update on May 22nd, the Oxford researchers revealed that 1,000 immunizations have been completed and that the next study will enroll up to 10,260 adults and children. You see, despite those sick monkeys. And I'm interjecting that. And the article says it will involve a number of partner institutions across the country. Pollard is steaming ahead with his ineffective vaccine, but a vaccine that hides symptoms and allows transmission is worse than no vaccine at all. You know, Lou, since they've mentioned one of the results of this vaccine appeared to be the Kawasaki disease, I think we better bring up that article that you have now about it being in Maryland. Let's go to that next.
Yes. Now, let me see. I'm going to shuffle around here and see what we did with that one. And, of course, Maryland is our state.
You know what? While you're looking...
You know, I don't seem to have that one.
While you're looking for that, maybe I have it. Let me just see whether I might have it, too. Yes, I believe I do have it, I would like to give it to you to present, so you can just leave the mic for a minute and get it.
Okay, I will.
And while he's leaving the mic, I'm going to tell you another headline that Easton becomes first town in Connecticut to ban 5G, and that's from Children's Health Defense, too. So you see, people are not going to go like lemmings to their death off the cliffs, you know, with this 5G destruction coming. No, some of them are starting to dismantle the towers. So now let's find out about this children's disease, Lou.
Yes, this is from the website MarylandMatters.org. The title, Maryland Seeing Increase in Post-Virus Illness That Hits Only Children. This was dated June 2nd, 2020, by Bruce DePoit. Maryland has started to see a gradual but steady increase in a mysterious post-coronavirus illness that appears only to affect children. Multi-system inflammatory syndrome in children, or MISC, strikes children 3 to 4 weeks after a COVID-19 exposure or infection, doctors say. The syndrome typically brings a range of symptoms and a considerable amount of discomfort, although almost all patients recover. The long-term effects are unknown. After hitting Europe and in the New York City area, cases have been popping up elsewhere in the last couple weeks.
You know, you and I have talked that we both think we were victims of the polio vaccine. In my diary, when I was 16, I wrote that I had never been so ill and I had a high fever. Did I actually have a vaccine-induced type of polio? I don't know. However, I would still choose to do that because I knew people in my hometown, one young woman who was paralyzed with her one side of her face and down that side of her body, and her life was not very happy. I would still choose, if I had to know that my autoimmune condition came later, that this was a trigger, I would still choose that. You also had some severe side effects from the, we think, the polio vaccine too, Lou.
Yes,
so,
that's
you know,
right.
When we hear this, that these children get well in 2 or 3 weeks, we don't know what that really means. Go ahead.
After hitting Europe and in the New York City area, cases have been popping up elsewhere in the last couple of weeks. A spokesman for the Maryland Department of Health said there have been 17 known cases of, let's call it, MISC, M-I-S-C, in the state, with one death.
Now, we think that's the same thing as the Kawasaki, don't we?
Well, it's similar, yes. I think it goes on to talk about that.
Okay, go ahead.
Continuing, in quotes, every day we get emails or phone calls that Dr. Charles Burrell, the head of cardiology at Children's National, I believe that's Children's National Medical Center in Washington, D.C., in a recent interview. He went on to say, it's not even noon, and I've had 3 calls today. Burrell describes MISC as a constellation of symptoms that includes fever, a rash, conjunctivitis, swollen lymph nodes under the neck, cracked lips with a strawberry-appearing tongue, swollen hands and feet, and peeling of the fingertips. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, patients also frequently experience abdominal pain, vomiting, diarrhea, bloodshot eyes, and fatigue. Burrell said, MISC is similar to Kawasaki disease, a rare condition that was first identified about 60 years ago. In many cases, children who have it don't even know they were exposed to COVID-19 because their immune system fought it off without getting any symptoms. Dr. Burrell said, quote, they get an immune reaction to the virus. So it's a post-infection reaction. The immune response to the infection is almost an overreaction, and it causes things to inflame, unquote. While some hospitals are using steroids, Children's has had success with high-dose aspirin, gamma globulin, and other medications.
Now, I have to interrupt again, Lou.
Yes.
The point is that when the body goes into almost a super kind of immune system power, that's when a lot of trouble happens. The body turns against itself. That's what happens with an autoimmune disease. And basically, that's what happens, I think, in the more severe aspects of the COVID-19 when it gets into the lungs and the cytokine storm starts. That starts because the body has almost too strong an immune response. It turns into that. So when you're telling us here about these children that this is sort of a hyper response, you see, we don't know. This might be the very trigger that 5 years down the road, oh, that child has type 1 diabetes. I wonder what happened. I wonder what harmed the body so that it no longer is a good regulator. It kind of is just, you know, I don't know what we would liken it to. In a car, what would you liken it to?
Well, that's a good question. Maybe something like running your automobile with the tires underinflated, and it might not do anything right away, but after a while, the tires will wear out much faster.
Yes, but in a sense, it's not underinflated. It's like overinflated,
right,
if there was such a thing. It's something that would be too powerful, and then it would, like, damage everything else. Even this EMF, you and I had to get a smartphone, and I'm not too happy with it. When I realize that ultraviolet light can touch the skin of someone with lupus, and if it sets off the disease, it can change the DNA. It can harm the DNA. Right there it is. So you see, we are putting so-called normal people into environments with Wi-Fi, for example, school children, with all of this remote distance learning, things that are not helpful, that were not there for our ancestors, the cell towers, but worst of all is the 5G. But go ahead.
Yes, and some of the things you were saying, Elizabeth, this article will address. So you were very thoughtful in evaluating it. The hospital, that is Children's Hospital in Washington, D.C., which draws heavily from the Maryland suburbs, has had 30 cases. All have recovered. The unknown, the doctor said, is what impact the inflammation will have on a child's development. Quote, it's too early to know what the long-term effects are going to be. We're optimistic that the coronary arteries are responding to the treatment and that children are getting better, he said. But we need to monitor the coronary arteries for a longer period of time, maybe up to a year, unquote. The child who died in Maryland was a 15-year-old Baltimore County resident who passed away on May 19th. The child was the first pediatric death in the county. Beryl advised parents to have a, quote, high degree of suspicion, unquote, if their kids have more than one of the symptoms associated with Miss C, and to contact their pediatrician. He said, quote, we believe that the early treatment is what's going to prevent the permanent damage to the coronary arteries, unquote.
Well, you know, this is one more alarming aspect of things that we would never have thought would happen on such a large scale. And, you know, we will be continuing this next week. We have to get more into this about the 5G, about the vaccines, about what's coming, this template that we don't want to see come. And, again, we really do call upon President Trump and the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, we call upon them, and Attorney General William Barr, we call on them to get this thing stopped, get these blue cities destruction, this planned takedown of America stopped. And if they must federalize the National Guard, then do it. My goodness. We had the Attorney General of Massachusetts saying this was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and something about from a burning forest comes new growth. Yes, we know what that new growth is, don't we? The global New World Order. And the Black Lives Matter, they don't really care about the black people. And we heard Leo Terrell on television, and he was talking about the same thing. And also an older person, Bob Woodson, who was a civil rights figure, an activist. This was Tuesday on the Tucker Carlson Tonight Show, June the 2nd. And he said about all these trillions of dollars that went to the liberal Democrats and other liberals, and this was money that, you see, was supposed to bring up these poor black neighborhoods, give them jobs, help them with their businesses. But they never got this money. The government, you see, is run by, there is this pecking order. We have the Al Sharptons. We have the people who are supposedly helping the underlings. Maxine Waters in her big home with all that she says. But what happens is this money never really gets to these people who need it. And it's just so sad to Lou and me that these neighborhoods are now being destroyed, and it'll take decades, decades for this to be overcome. Britt Hume, Britt Hume, and he is wise, and he is such a seasoned observer of the political scene, and he is a Christian. And I believe he once was very ill with a stroke, but he has said that there's never been a country like America that has tried this hard to bring about equality with the races and with everything else. And he said about all the lives lost in the Civil War. But you see, we have these fake organizations, the Black Lives logos, the Black Lives Matter logos, I think are on Citibank somewhere. And we have the Planned Parenthood abortions going on in the black areas. And that is by the design of the elite. We have that old eugenics, that old Hitlerian Nazi T4 ideal. And you know, those poor old people in the nurse father is not in one of those nursing homes. We've heard he's, I think, about 95 or 97. He's probably in a very exclusive, nice nursing home. And we do have to compliment Governor DeSantis in Florida. He didn't do that. He didn't, I don't want to say commit homicide, but he didn't send the positive COVID-19 nursing home patients back into the nursing home. Oops, we're so sorry, aren't we? Cuomo, Whitmer, and Wolf. That's a trilogy, isn't it, Lou?
Yes, it is.
We do hope that you got something good out of this program, and please pray and prepare. You don't want to be the victim of this big, big, whatever we want to call them.
Conspiracy.
Nuts who have planned this for us. All these things come under God's power first. We know He is real, and He will help us. Good night.